Hallelujah. Praise God. Good things are happening, I'm telling you right now. In your life, do you know this is the worst that's ever going to get in your life? If you're born again. Yeah. Not great. Not that it's great that if you have bumps on the road, but I'm saying it's just going to get better from here. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We are starting there tonight. And we're going to go into some exciting things. We're going to continue to talk about love. We could talk about this like every single week forever, right? And how about you? But I need to hear this. Now, I know you've all got it together, right? Your love walks are perfect. All right? But we're, you know what? You're in the flesh. You're going to experience things, right? Amen. But the good thing is, that God, excuse me, God is so in love with you. And this is, when we study about love, we're really studying about the character of God, what He is made up of. Sugar and spice and everything nice is all about God. Amen. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, I'm going to read it out of the message. Yeah, pretty impressive, huh? All right. I'm trying, Adrian. I'm trying hard. It says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I am nothing but a creaking of a rusty gate. That's what some people have described my singing as, a creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all of His mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. Verse 3, and it says, if I give everything I own to the poor, and if I go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I have gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Let's just stop there for a moment. Because we're going to kind of get into some things tonight. But we can do things. Have you ever noticed sometimes your kids, they'll do the right thing, but their motive's not there, right? Heard the little boy that the teacher said, okay, you need to sit down. And he goes, I'm going to be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. That means I'm doing the right thing, but I don't want to be, or the reason I have wrong motives, correct? Ever had somebody, you know, or your kids, not, we'll leave your kids out of it, but people around you, they're doing things for you, and what's your first thought? Okay, what's up? Right? You ever had those people before in your life? They're doing things, and you're thinking, oh, what did you do? Because you're not really this nice, so something must be up, you know? And that's kind of what this scripture's talking about, is you're doing things, and they seem nice, but there's an angle, or you're not really doing it out of love. You're trying to prove something. And so it's very important. We're going to go on, and it says, love never gives up. Again, when we read these things about love, it really reaffirms our, you know, I know so many people that especially, you know, with Rhema, they just got a new faith shield. That's exciting. You ever been to Rhema before? They've got a big, enormous faith shield, and it turns around. It's been broken for a while. They just got a new faith shield. Was it last week or something like that? So it's really cool when you go there in the church, they got a big shield, faith shield, that turns around and just rotates. So we can study all kinds of things about faith, but I believe your faith comes if you have a revelation of the love of God. Because if you understand that God wants to do good things for you, and He absolutely loves you, and He cares about you, it's easy to receive from Him. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. That is the epitome of Jesus, isn't it? Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Don't you just love this message? Getting to the these and the thous, right? It doesn't force itself on others. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Isn't always me first. You ever notice little kids, It's all about me, right? What's the first thing? What's a couple things the little kids say? One thing is, who's got little kids here? What's one of the first things they say? One of the words. Or one thing they always say. Dada, right? I heard a dad say that. Dada, right? What's one? No, right? And what's another thing they say?
Mine.
Mine. Little flesh monsters, right? Mine. Give me mine. That's all the flesh, isn't it? And they have to be taught that. They have to be taught not to do that. Isn't me first? Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of others' sins. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure, here we go, in flowering truth, or the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. I love that. And really, we're just saying that these are all attributes of what? The Holy Spirit. Because we're going to turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. I'm going to read out the Amplified. And we're going to talk here a little bit about some things. Now, we're going to kind of go talk about the works of the flesh. And works of the flesh are only just the opposite of the love walk. And the amazing thing is we see the works of the flesh. We're always, when we read this, we're always the biggies pop out at us, like, you know, murders and, you know, all that stuff. And it's like, oh, somebody else does that stuff. And that's not, doesn't pertain to me. Well, I'll tell you what, when we get this list here, it's very, you know, how can I say, it's eye-opening. And we can see all of these things happening in broad daylight in our society today. You turn on the tube and you're going to see all of these things in operation all the time. And of course, you know, we're probably, you know, we're going to see these things. But verse 19, this is Amplified. And it says here, now the doings or practices of the flesh are clearly obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency. I want to stop there for a second. Did you know that indecency is a work of the flesh? Okay, I'm gonna go over to Titus now. All right. They're really cool about it. I'm going to tell you a little secret about the New Testament and finding scriptures in the books in the Bible. All the T's are together, right? So that's nice. The Timothy's, and then you have the Titus. You have Thessalonians. You have all the T's are together, so that's really handy. So Titus is the last T. Say that fast 10 times. Titus is the last T. So Titus, little small book, and verse chapter 2, verse 4. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. Now, this works of the flesh area, I'm going to take and I'm going to pull scriptures out and pull them back together into the works of the flesh so we can see some things here, okay? Now, it says here in verse 4, it says, now, so that they will wisely train, here we go, the younger women to be sane and sober of mind, temperate, disciplined, and to love their husbands and their children. Here we go. Now, talking about the older wives or the older women training the younger women. Here we go. Help them to be what? Self-controlled, chaste homemakers, good-natured, kind-hearted, adapted, and subordinating themselves to their husbands, that the word of God may not be exposed to the reproach, blasphemy, or discredited. Now, I want to pause here for a minute. Because what the scripture is talking about is the older women help training the younger women. And the reason I mention that is because indecency, you know what? It is, you have to be taught how to dress. I know this sounds silly, right? But you have to be, for example, I mean, I had to know what's appropriate. And it's all cultural, right? I spent some time in Africa, and you see some of those people, they obviously dress a lot different than us. But you know what? We have to be taught things. And our society just acts like everybody just knows what to do. We were talking about sports on the way home because, you know, we'd been in a basketball game. And it's so funny because when I taught T-ball to Molly and Kate, they were just 5 years old. You know what we did? We had a T-ball. And I was coaching. I said, okay, here's a bat. Because I can't assume 5 year-olds know this stuff, right? But we're in a society where it's assumed that people know those things. And I'm telling you what, I ever watched those, and I probably shouldn't say this, but watch these videos where they'll ask people history questions, right? And you're sitting there thinking, and these are college campuses, and you're thinking, you shouldn't be allowed to graduate from anything if you don't know some of these things. But what I would do, the very first time we had our little practice for the 5-year-olds, I go, here's this, and then guess what? You're going to hit this ball, and guess which way you're going to run? And I had some kids saying that way, and that way, and that way. I'm like, follow me. We're all going to run to first base together. And we all stood on first base. Okay, everybody touch first base. Great. Now, we're going to run this direction. Why? Because you have to teach people things. And I'm telling you what, we're in a society where people just don't know any better. You just don't know any better, right? And that's where, ladies, you come in to help the younger, your daughters and things like that, right? Believe me, you don't want me teaching you how to dress. I'm telling you right now, no. So I think we're getting into issues because the Bible clearly talks about, you know what, the men are supposed to help the younger men, the older men. I'm not older. That's some other group, right? I'm pretty sure. anyway, and the older ladies, you're supposed to help the younger ladies with things. Now, let me ask you this. If those of you who have little babies or little kids, boom, that baby came along. Guess what? I know Adrian and I, when the twins came along, we're like, help, help, help. we're sitting in the hospital, and Molly and Kate are just babies, and we look at each other and we said, I wonder if one of these nurses will come home with us for a week, right? Because we didn't know what we were doing at all. We had to learn some things. Guess what? We began to ask people who had kids, right? Mothers, fathers, is this normal? Does this make sense, right? You were talking to the nurses. We're talking to the doctor. We're finding things out. Of course, we've done kids' church, but we never had a baby. And there's all kinds of things you don't know. And that why? Because you need other people helping you, guiding you along the way. So, we also see here, it says idolatry, sorcery. Sorcery is what we call witchcraft. I'm going to talk about this minute. Do you know, excuse me, witchcraft is controlling people. Now, witchcraft does, and I'm going to, go look up witchcraft and find associated words that come under witchcraft, and you will find feminism and a big old pentagram right there. Don't like that one, do you? Right? Do I obviously believe women should have equal this, equal this, equal this? Go research feminism and how it is similar to witchcraft. Go Google it right after we're done with church. And if you don't believe me, go Google it, right? Because one of the works of the flesh is controlling people. Whether you're man or woman, it's all wrong, right? It's all wrong. And witchcraft is about controlling people. Now, we're talking about the love walk, so we definitely don't want to do this, but witchcraft is this. It's all about controlling people. And do you know people are operating witchcraft in churches? Did you know that people are operating in families? Witchcraft is happening all of the time. I've seen people operating in witchcraft in the church and doing things that I have been, in church with, and they're operating in witchcraft. What is it? It all goes back to what we just talked about, not being me first. Witchcraft is all about trying to control you to do something that I want you to do. And that's a work of the flesh. Here we go. We always see, I've seen things like, over the years I've seen, praise and worship people do that. I have pastor friends of mine that they have people that do, because they don't do praise and worship, they don't know music, they don't know anything, and they have praise and worship people that will try to control the pastor or try to control things or manipulate things. I had a youth pastor one time. Now, this guy is really super nice. He's super funny. He's hilarious. I remember when I was, he'd tell crazy jokes and stuff. I just the kind of person. He was my youth pastor when I was younger, and then he took over church years ago. But I remember one time I was talking to him on the phone. I don't remember what it was. And Adrian and I were just got married or something. I said, we were talking. I met him somewhere as years later. And I said, I just got married. And we were talking. He goes, he says, what's her name? Is her name Abraham Lincoln? So he has all these crazy little puns and everything. Anyway, he's a really super funny guy. Okay, he didn't laugh at that. But I thought it was funny. But he's really hilarious. But what happened at one time was people didn't agree with him, and then the praise and worship team just came in and took, because they didn't like it and they wanted to control him, came in on a Saturday night, took all the instruments and left. And then when he came home, or when he came Sunday morning for church, everything was gone. So again, you know, we don't have to have a pot. We're not doing potions and things like that. But what it does mean is we need to watch out for things in our lives. We have a temptation to be able to control people, right? And that's completely wrong. We don't want to control people at all, and that's completely unbiblical. You know, Deuteronomy says, choose this day whom you'll serve. It's a decision that you have to make in everything that you do, and no one can make that decision for you, right? And I know it's easy for us as parents. We want to help our kids, but I always pound in my kid's head that, you know what, you're going to make your own decision someday. You have to start making decisions for yourself, and you have to define, is this a quality decision for me to make? And also, too, are there consequences that are associated with this decision? Jesus didn't, you know, when the 70 left, and I mean, can you imagine that message Jesus had? And he said, hey, you can eat, you're going to eat my flesh and you're going to drink my blood. And then we see about 70 of his disciples going, ho, 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 this is weird. You know, Jesus didn't go along and say, you have to stay with me. You have to do this. You don't understand. Or he says, oh, please come back. Please come back. Please come back. Jesus let people come in and leave from his life. And they're definitely regretting it now, I can imagine. But Jesus never controlled people. Never did. And the devil always wants to control people. And there's things that we can do in our lives that we don't understand. Sometimes we're operating in those things. And you're thinking, well, I don't feel demon-possessed. It doesn't matter. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is a temptation sometimes to control people, and it's of a wrong spirit. And we can influence people and have positive influence on people by praying for them, encouraging them, being there for them. But we see people, it doesn't matter. We see that at work. For example, you know, you ever have those people you work with or you're around, all of a sudden they get a position of influence and they get an authority position, and all of a sudden they just change overnight, right? They can't handle any kind of leadership, any kind of power whatsoever. It just goes to their head and they just go, well, you know, again, some of these people are walking in the flesh. Hatred, strife, jealousy. We don't think about that, but you know, jealousy is kind of a big thing. Facebook, come on. I'm not on Facebook because it's just, but you know, I mean, what is Facebook? Facebook is just a bragging book, right? I mean, that's all it is. Nobody's like, hey, everything's awful, terrible. My life's a scam. And I just, you know, I'm completely broke and everything's awful in my life. No, you read all the highlights in Facebook, don't you? Right? Look at our trip. You know, look at my new car. It's all highlights. It's not reality, is it? It's not reality at all. And what is it? We can sit back and say, oh, look, they got that trip. Oh, they got the new house. Oh, they got this. They got this. Do you realize that's a work of the flesh? And that's not something we're killing somebody. We're doing some massive thing. But it's a heart issue is what the work of the flesh is. And it's something we've got to watch. Because you know what? All of these things, the works of the flesh, they're going to eventually come back. And another one is anger. You know, I grew up, there's some anger issues going on. You know, we always think, people always think about, everybody around those people, they get mad or something. They're like, well, I just told this person this, and you know, other people, like, well, good for you. You know, that's not something to brag about, losing your cool. I mean, that's not something that I get embarrassed of. Now, sometimes you have to sit on people. You have to stand up for yourself. We're not saying that. But we're saying that you go around throwing a fit, trying to, and again, anger can be a form of manipulation as well. We're going to do some good stuff here. This is fabulous, by the way. Isn't this just fun talking about the works of the flesh? If you guys want to run, you can anytime. The aisles here open here. or this is something too. Selfishness, divisions. Here we go. This is something interesting. And these are things that we don't think about. It talks about the party spirit. And what the Amplified says is fractions, sex with particular opinions. That's why it's so dangerous often is when we get so hung up on this political party and this political party and nothing's ever right or wrong. It's just who are you associated with? You ever heard of the mob mentality? Okay? This goes along with the mob mentality. Because guess what? You see all these people, and we saw that, three summers ago, you see all these people, they get in this group, they get bricks, and they get this, and then all of a sudden there's 100 people, and they're setting a police station on fire, and then it's like, oh, this sounds like fun. All of a sudden you're involved in something. Why? Because it's a party spirit, and you can get hung up with it. You're not realizing, hey, I'm destroying property, but you get swept away with the party spirit, right? How many people will just do things that are wrong because there's a group doing it too, right? I mean, like you're in grade school. What's the thing? Well, everybody else is doing it. That's the party spirit. That's that work of the flesh where you're just going and you're doing things and it's wrong, it's illegal, they're just a work of the flesh. That's one thing that the Bible talks about that God hates is, again, feet that go to shed innocent blood and one that goes to mischief. That goes along with this as well. But one of the things that I thought was really interesting was, and also heresies, and of course, you know, that's always going against the Word of God. Did you know that that's a work of the flesh? Not believing the Word? Not believing the Word. Heresies is what, it's going against God's Word, right? You don't believe it. Or creating your own belief system. Now, apostasy means you just walk away from it altogether. You just say, I don't believe any of this at all. But heresy is, I'm beginning to create my own doctrine. I'm beginning to create things. Or I'm not open to what the Word says. You know, years ago, we were just talking about this. Donna's parents, Adrian's grandparents, Max and Chastine, had a very profound impact on Adrian and I because they were in ministry and they enjoyed it. Bless you. And they were, you know, all the way until, you know, they were elderly and Max passed away. You know, they were involved in ministry. But the interesting thing was that they were Baptists and we were Pentecostal, obviously. But, you know, the crazy thing was we never got in arguments about anything. It's because we love the Word and want to talk about the Word together. And then they'd have other family members. I remember being there, and they would be spirit-filled, and they would believe the same thing we did, but they're Baptists. And we would all have a conversation, and we'd spend hours talking about the Word, and we were different denominations. And we didn't care about being different denominations, but the main thing is we were talking about the Word. You can't do that with very many people, right? Because what happens is then you get to the point where you can't communicate about the Word, and what happens? You get in the flesh and you get angry and you can't talk about differences and being open to things. It's very difficult to talk sometimes with people in other denominations. I got some other people that we have great conversations, but then there's other people that they won't even talk to you because they're afraid. You know, I'm pretty secure in my own belief system. Even if you don't believe the same way I do, you got to show me some scripture. You got to back it up. You just can't say, well, this is what I believe. Okay? Well, then now you're getting into the works of the flesh because you're not backing up by anything and it's all emotion. Well, this is what I believe. Well, why do you believe it? Tell me why. What is it based on? I realized this years ago. My eternity is too valuable for me to take someone else's word for it. I need to see something, some proof in the Word to base my belief system on. But people who are do works of the flesh, again, they get angry, They can't talk about things. We see that with other religious people where they just get downright angry with us and they're almost scared because they don't want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, if you study the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the speaking in tongues is a byproduct of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It is part of when the Holy Spirit shows up, it's something that manifests because of Him. That's why love manifests when God shows up. That's why faithfulness shows up, or faith shows up when God manifests. That's why all of the things we see here in Galatians chapter 5 manifest. They manifest when God shows up. And that's why Adrian and I were just talking different things here too this week, just about how we will sense the Spirit on somebody. And it's like, I will sense something on someone and I know what spirit they're of because of the way I feel, because of what I'm sensing on the inside, right? If I sense lust or fear or anything like that, or any kind of evil spirit or anything manifesting on somebody, I'll sense it on the inside. I can tell right away whether it's of God or not. We don't have to, you know, well, is that a spirit of God? Is that from God or not? We know in the Bible we can test the spirits and know what kind of spirit it is. And that's why it's important to see these things. Heresies. Envying. Oh, this is wonderful. Feeling of discontent or resentful longing for someone that something that belongs to someone else. Right? Can we just be happy for other people? You know how many years it was like Adrian and I before we had the girls? You know what? All the time we heard, when are you guys gonna? You know, and then we had this gal, one of the churches, all the time. She, you know, really nice, but it's like, oh my goodness, I just get pregnant all the time. And you know, and she's just like, pop, another kid here, right? Well, we're happy for them, right? But we have to stay focused and say, you know what? I mean, God's not, oh, sorry, the kid bucket's empty here. No more kids for anybody else, sorry. But it's easy, and the thing of it is, people don't realize, and they're not sensitive, and that's something, too, where, you know, part of the works of the flesh are, you know, you do things purposely to, you know, irritate other people. And that's a work of the flesh, you know, you know, I'll just back up here, too, and I've been around other ministers and other people and other Christians, and say, well, I'm just going to tell them the truth, and I'm just, you know, like it's a bold thing. No, hurting people is not a spiritual act. Yeah, Jesus did things, you know, he called out Peter, he did things in the Bible, but it was did things because he knew that different people needed different things. He was at Lazarus' tomb and he cried. One time he called Peter the devil. He knew how to handle people and what they needed at the right time. And how to shake their cage to wake them up because they needed it. He would stand in front of Herod and didn't say anything. And that's part of being knowing what to say and what not to say, right? That's called wisdom. Sometimes your flesh wants to unload on people and just blah, and other times you just need to be quiet. And that's, again, about being led by the Spirit. Drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those things, such you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All of this amounts to is just not walking in love, not preferring one another. If you prefer one another and you walk in love and you consider the other person, a lot of these things, I like this keychains they have, like they have the teenagers that have, you know, like a keychain in their, like their first car. And I saw one of them, I'm going to get one for my kids when they start driving. It says, don't do stupid stuff. Right? I look at that every time they get in the car. They go, oh, yeah, Dad said, okay, don't do stupid stuff. Oh, okay, don't do stupid stuff. Okay, don't do stuff. No, they're not going to do stupid stuff. But the point is, if we have the revelation and understanding that, again, and it's a lifelong, thing, okay? No one ever arrives at the love walk. It is always a pursuit. We can get better and continue to increase in the love walk. But if we walk in love, then we're not going to do these things, right? We're not going to try to cause others to stumble. Excuse me. Let's go to the fruits of the Spirit, which is right after that. We're going to end on some good notes here. But verse 22, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit is the work which his presence within accomplishes is what? Love, joy and gladness, peace, patience. Oh, that word is just no. Don't ever pray for patience. I did that before and it's just, patience, right? Oh, you'll get patience. Patience and even temper and forbearance. There we go. Even temper, right? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint. Against such things there is no law. I want to stop there just for a minute. You know, we've got a couple of things that I'm so glad that people in my past and pastors and things like that gave me the benefit of the doubt sometimes, because as we are Christians, that's one thing where, and I'm kind of in, I just, we've got a huge opportunity here because in the body of Christ, I don't see as much here, but I'm saying it, some of the others, it can, churches can feel cultish, meaning if you're not part of the club, it's not right, is it? At all. And one of the things that I think that the love walk really tests is when we have people that are struggling. There's a couple of different options or attitudes we can have. First of all, we can come with the attitude like, stinks to be you, sorry. You know, you kind of made your own bed. And sometimes, again, people. But the other thing is too, and I've said this before, keep coming. Guess what? We'll work out our salvation together, right? There's something very important about, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What it means is as we move forward towards Christ, no matter what mistakes you make, pick it up, pick up yourself, dust yourself off, you're going to make it. Love is all about having hope. And let's turn to Hebrews real quick. Hope is a desire. Hope is Hebrews 11:1. Part of the thing is when you're dealing with people, number one, like we just read, what is my motive for this? Right? I've been around people before, and they're not interested in bringing a correction. They're just trying to zing somebody. You ever notice that too? You're telling somebody, but you're not interested in getting it. You're just trying to zing them in the process. And the way that we do say things and our motive is very important. That's why some of the denominations I came out of when I was a kid, and they were very condemning about divorce and things like that. You know, if you're divorced, you just could not be a minister. Oh, so my calling is based on your denomination, right? Whether I'm called is no. That's a terrible thing to do. Or all of these other things, like you can't serve God on the capacity. Or you're a woman, so you can't be a pastor, right? Or you can't do these things. Or that's condemning. What happens if you were? What happens if you made a mistake? So what we're doing is we're punishing people because whether they made mistakes or something happened in their life, that's not their fault. Sometimes not their fault. We can't condemn people for that. Oh, you got in trouble with the law. I know some were, you know, people were pastors. They had felonies. They couldn't be pastors. Oh, so you had a criminal record. Then you got saved in prison. God put a calling on your life, but you can't do anything with it now. See, that's not right. That's not love, is it? Now, if somebody's actively sinning and they're doing things like, well, I want to be a minister, but I'm going to go ahead and live in sin. Well, that's something else. I mean, for crying out the loud, Paul murdered Christians, put him in prison, wrote 2/3 in the New Testament. I think there's some mercy on him, right? Right? I mean, he went to Damascus, God knocked his horses. The guys with him are freaking out. They're like, we hear this voice, but we don't see nobody. Something's talking, and he got knocked off his horse, and he can't see now. And then Paul woke up, you know, because again, the Lord knows what you need, how to deal with you. That's why he's so wonderful, because he knows what you need. Nobody's going to sit down and do an argument with Paul about why he's wrong. Jesus said, I need to show up, knock him off his horse, make him blind for 3 days, and that'll wake him up. In fact, Peter and all of them at Jerusalem were kind of freaked out because they're like, we've heard about this guy, and he's kind of scary, and he's freaking us out. And we got good old Barnabas, the old Barnabas. I just love Barnabas. I just love him. He and Silas are just, you know, it's okay. Paul's turned. It's all right. You know. So then they finally let him in. See, God is so full of love that even in your, you know, we'll just end with this. Whatever mistakes you make in life, God isn't thrown back like, ah, Jesus, what are we going to do now? Oh, we got this big curveball, this big breaking ball they threw at us and we missed it. I don't even know what we're going to do now. I mean, God's not going like I can't believe John did that. Oh, I can't believe Adrian did that. What was Dwight thinking? Now the whole plan is screwed up. No. You know, like planets are colliding and everything. You know, there's pandemonium. Dogs and cats in the streets together. No, nothing like that, right? God is not thrown off. I mean, it's bad things have happened to people and it's okay. And that's where the love walk comes in. We can say, you know what? You're going to be okay. This happened. We're going to make it together. All right? You cannot believe the testimonies of people that bad things have happened or anything else. I just want to say, all the people in here, Adrian and I believe in everybody here. Okay? And it doesn't matter what you go through. I mean, it's just, you're going to make it. All right? Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Like Corey, he's great, great example there. That's right. Look at that. He's just helping me out there. What would I do without Corey? But, the point is it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter as long as you get back up, keep moving forward, right? You're going to have people that are going to dust you off and help you out. And again, we recognize no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's not what you have done, but it's what you will become. That's what the Spirit of God is always looking for. He doesn't care about the things in the past. You ever look at the people that, like Jesse Duplantis, the Lord, the Lord had appeared to him and he says, I just started. I was like, Lord, I'm sorry, I've sinned. And he goes, I don't know anymore. I've forgotten all that. See, why are we talking about things that he's forgotten about if they're washed by the blood, right? The devil, all he wants to do is bring up a Polaroid that doesn't exist anymore. Remember those old Polaroids? Remember those? I see, like, I have some of them that are like back in the 70s when I'm a little kid, you know? And I'm thinking, okay. That guy doesn't exist anymore. I mean, every molecule in that guy's body has changed like several times, and I'm not even the same person. And that's the same. When the devil tries to come and bring something in your face, that doesn't exist anymore if you have it under the blood. It doesn't exist anymore. And the flesh, a couple of things as we close. No, I got 12 closings here, so that's okay, all right? I hope you brought your lunch tonight. I'm kidding. But... couple of things. Number one, you got to have the revelation God loves you. Number two, the Bible says that you love your neighbor as yourself and as a God. You have to love yourself. That's very important. You have to love yourself. If you can't love yourself, you can't help other people. It doesn't mean you're in pride. It just means that you care enough about yourself to get into the Word, to spend time with God and let Him love you. Because I'm telling you what, you don't have the ability to love other people unless you connect with God. Because we see in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The only reason we have the power and the ability to love at all is because of God. Our sin nature, our DNA is contaminated with sin until we get born again. And that's in Corinthians. Excuse me. I'm sorry I'm boring you guys tonight. I'll try to hurry up here. So good. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. How many new creatures tonight? That's me. I'm a new creature, right? When I get up in the morning, sometimes I don't feel like a new creature, right? When I'm working, I don't feel like a new creature. But you're a new creature whether you feel like it or not. If you've accepted Christ, born again, hallelujah, you should be filled with the Spirit as well. He's a new creature. Guess what? Old things are passed away. That old man is gone. Now, there may be some remnants, you bet. There may be some remnants of your thinking, which needs to be changed according to Romans 12:1-3. You need to change your thinking, and you need to present your body a living sacrifice unto God, which is His acceptable will. Amen? And behold, all things, what? Become new. So this scripture is so powerful because you're a new creature, whether you feel like it or not. Okay? You're a new creature. All things are passed away. Here we go. Guess what? There's new stuff coming your way. Old things are passed away. All things become new. You got new things ahead of you. That's where too many people, when they get born again, they're in a transitional period, and they don't understand the Word or the way that God, everything's based on feelings. Well, I don't feel this way. I don't feel this way. I still have the old friends. I'm still thinking the same way. I still have the same addictions, maybe, possibly, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Just wait, because there's new things. Father, we thank You so much for tonight. In the name of Jesus, we glorify You tonight, Jesus, that Your love is shed abroad on everyone here. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but what? After the Spirit. Amen. Amen. If you are born again and you're actively walking after the Spirit, there is no condemnation anymore. The love, God's love is more powerful than sin. His forgiveness is way more powerful than sin. There is no comparison. The power of sin is broken, we see in Galatians and also in other places there too. The power of sin is broken. Condemnation is no more. Condemnation basically says that you have no way out and you are absolutely condemned and you will never get out. Well, those people in hell are condemned right now. But that's not us. You have breath in your lungs. There's still hope. Amen? Yes. God is still actively. And I still believe that people that are here, if you're in church, you're loving God, actively pursuing God, there is a plan and there's things God's working on your behalf. You are a walking miracle. We are a walking miracle. Do you know that? Jesus is the absolute ultimate miracle, and those who receive Him have partaken in that miracle. It's called the Great Exchange. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank You so much. Lord, I pray for everyone here tonight in the name of Jesus. They have a safe trip as they travel with family, friends, over this holiday season. Everyone is protected. We just thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen.